Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Yo, step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, ropes snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays strong. Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. Tune in, strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the truth.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James, and this is the Saturday solo episode for the real wrestling community. We got a jam-packed show for you, but before we get going, I just got a couple asks for you. If you're a long-time listener or if you're just joining the movement, I got a couple things to ask for you. You see the four icons in the top right hand of the screen. Like, comment, share, and subscribe. That's what we need. If you're listening to this on the audio format, obviously you can't see the four icons on your screen. You don't have a screen to look at. So I have this ask for you. If you're listening to the audio, subscribe where you're listening to, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and give me a 5-star, not a 3-star, but a 5-star review if you're enjoying this podcast. Comment below and just subscribe. Let's join the community. Join the Discord. That link to the Discord will be down in the description or in the show notes, depending on where you're listening to this from. So let's build the movement, join the Discord, join the fun. You can be a part of these Saturday shows by joining the Discord and interacting with the community. And let's get going with this Saturday show. But first, we gotta talk about the company that powers this podcast. You see their logo on every thumbnail, and that's Dubby Energy. If you need energy that hits different, Dubby Energy's got you covered. Zero sugar, no artificial nonsense, just a clean, focused boost, whether you're gaming, studying, or just crushing your hustle. Stay locked in without the crash. All you gotta do, my friends, is go to dubby.gg. Use the code Beyond the Yard and you can get 10% off your order. Fuel your vibe with Dubby. Try it today. Let me know what you think about it. I think their stuff is really good from what I've tried. I need to get me some more. But let's get going with this podcast. You can tell by the the name of the show this week. We got a difficult conversation, I think, one that I think the wrestling community needs to hear. And I'm going to start the show talking about this topic, and it's on Thursday I talked about tribalism, and I think this is kind of part two to the tribalism talk, which I think some people misconstrued what I was trying to say about tribalism. What I was not trying to say is that you can't have a favorite company. You can't ride or die with WWE. You can't ride or die with AEW. The point I was trying to make is that when it becomes tribal to the point that wars have to start over minuscule things, it destroys the wrestling business. So I think the point that I was trying to make got misconstrued. And so I'm going to make part two of that conversation and talk about why there are so many different flavors of pro wrestling and why that's a great thing, and why, honestly, at the end of the day, regardless of the flavor of wrestling you enjoy, it's really the same product. There's really the same basic formula, and every different genre, different flavor of pro wrestling, but at its base, it's usually the same couple ingredients. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about something that's been thrilling fans for generations, something that's as diverse as it is delicious, as universal as it is unique. I'm talking about pro wrestling. A world of athleticism, drama, storytelling that's got more flavors than your typical ice cream parlor. See, just like ice cream, pro wrestling comes in a million different styles. But at its core, it's the same great product that keeps us coming back for more. So grab a seat, maybe grab a double scoop of ice cream. Let me take you on a journey through the flavors of wrestling and why, no matter how it's served, wrestling is always a treat. See, picture this. You're at an ice cream shop. You're staring at that menu board. And you've got, you know, your classic vanilla. You got chocolate fudge. You got mango sorbet. And maybe some wild cookie and cream type concoction. I know I went to a ice cream shop when I was in Orlando, Florida. And they didn't have just regular cookies and cream. They called it Cookie Monster. And it was cookies and cream ice cream, but it was blue. And so you just get this like mixed together concoction sometimes of ice cream. Each one's got its own vibe. Each one's got its own fan base. But they're all ice cream. It's still chilled, it's still sweet, and it's still satisfying. Pro wrestling, it's the same deal. Whether it's the glitzy sports entertainment of WWE or the hard-hitting, strong style of New Japan Pro Wrestling, the high-flying artistry of Lucha Libre and CMLL, or the genre-blending chaos of AEW, each style brings its own flavor to the table. But deep down, it's all wrestling. It's a mix of athleticism, storytelling, and passion that hits you right in the heart. See, let's start with WWE. See, I would say WWE is the vanilla of pro wrestling. Now, don't get it twisted. Vanilla is a classic for a reason. It's smooth. It's reliable. And when it's done right, it's unforgettable. See, WWE sports entertainment model is all about larger-than-life characters and cinematic storytelling. Think about Stone Cold Steve Austin chugging beers and flipping off the boss. Think about The Rock raising that eyebrow and cutting a promo that leaves the crowd roaring. See, WWE is not just about in-ring action. It's about the spectacle, the pyrotechnics, the soap opera drama, the moments that make you pop out of your seat. It's like a big scoop of vanilla ice cream topped off with some sprinkles, whipped cream, and a cherry. Sure, some purists may say it's too sweet, too polished, But you can't deny it's a crowd pleaser. WWE's been the global face of wrestling for decades because it knows how to hook you with these larger-than-life stories, just like vanilla hooks you with its timeless appeal. But now let's hop over into the Pacific to New Japan Pro Wrestling. See, I consider New Japan Pro Wrestling like the bold chocolate fudge ice cream of the wrestling world. It's rich, it's intense, and it's not really for the faint of heart. New Japan's strong style was built on authenticity and physicality. It's less about the glitz and more about the grit. Wrestlers like Kazuchika Okada or Hiroshi Tanahashi don't just perform, they fight. Their matches are like a martial arts showdown with stiff strikes, grueling submissions, and a focus on the in-ring psychology that makes you believe every moment. It's like ice cream with a deep, bold flavor that lingers. You don't just scarf it down, you savor it. Strong style demands respect. When you see a match like Okada go against Kenny Omega in a 60-minute match, there's no shortcuts being taken. It's just like taking a bite of that dark chocolate fudge and realizing it's complex, layered, but downright unforgettable. New Japan's flavor isn't for everyone, but for those who love it, it is the gold standard. Let's take it back to Mexico for a taste of Lucha Libre. The mango sorbet of pro wrestling. It's bright. It's vibrant. It's bursting with energy. Companies like CMLL serve up a style of wrestling all about high-flying acrobatics, colorful masks, and a cultural tradition that runs deep. Luchadores like Místico and Volador Jr. soar through the air with dives and flips that defy gravity, all while weaving stories of honor, betrayal, and pride. The masks aren't just props. They are symbols of identity, sometimes wagered in epic luchas de apuestas, where losers unmask or shave their head. It's like that first bite of mango sorbet. It's electric, it's refreshing, and it's just a little exotic. Lucha Libre's fast-paced, family-friendly vibe makes it a unique flavor, but it's still wrestling at its core, delivering the same emotional high as any other style of pro wrestling. And then you have companies like AEW, All Elite Wrestling, the cookies and cream of pro wrestling, a delicious mashup that takes bits and pieces of every style and blends it into something new. AEW is like that ice cream you get when you can't decide, so you just mix vanilla with chocolate and swirl it into something wild. They've got sports entertainment flair with guys like Chris Jericho, cutting rock star promos, strong style brawls with wrestlers like Jon Moxley, throwing fists, and a little bit of that Lucha Libre flair with high flyers, like the Young Bucks or Hologram. AEW is all about variety. They give a fans a buffet of flavors in one show. You might get a technical masterpiece from Bryan Danielson 1 minute and a wild no rules death match in the next. It's chaotic, it's creative, and it's proof that wrestling can be a melting pot of styles while still serving up the same great product. So then why do all of these flavors work? Because just like ice cream, pro wrestling's core ingredients never change. At its heart, wrestling is all about storytelling through physicality. It's good versus evil, underdog versus champion, pride versus betrayal. Whether it's WWE cinematic epics, New Japan's brutal battles, CMLL's masked marvels, or AEW's genre-blending madness, they're all mixing the same recipe. Athletic performers, passionate fans, and stories that make you feel something. Just like ice cream's always got milk, sugar, and a touch of magic, wrestling always has heart, hustle, and a whole lot of soul. Now, see, some fans, as I talked about on Thursday, they get tribal about their favorite flavor. You have folks who swear by their WWE's mainstream appeal. Others who only touch New Japan's pro wrestling, pure pro wrestling. And don't even get me started on Lucha Libre diehards who live for Technica versus Rudo. But here's like arguing over vanilla versus chocolate. It's pointless. Sure, you might vibe more with one style, but denying the others is like saying only one kind of ice cream is worth eating. Wrestling's beauty is that you've got something for everyone. Kids love WWE superheroes. Hardcore fans geek out over New Japan five-star classics. Families in Mexico cheer for their favorite luchadores. And AEW is there for folks who want a bit of it all. It's a different flavor, but it's the same great product. A product that's been scooping fans up since the days of Carnival Strongman and still packs arenas today. And let's not forget, wrestling like ice cream evolves. Vanilla used to rule the parlor, just like WWE's ruled the industry for years. And then someone thought in to swirl in new flavors, and suddenly you've got gelato, soft serve, dairy-free options. Wrestling's done the same. ECW brought in some hardcore, indie promotions push boundaries, and now AEW is mixing it all up. Every flavor builds on the last, keeping the product fresh while staying true to the roots. That is why wrestling's never gone out of style. It's always finding new ways to make you crave another scoop. So next time someone asks you why wrestling or why you love wrestling, tell them it's like ice cream. You might be there watching Cody Rhodes finish the story in WWE. You might be marking out for Will Ospreay's flips in AEW. Or you might be singing along to Mystico's theme music in CMLL. Maybe losing your voice at a New Japan Epic in the Tokyo Dome. But at the end of the day, you're a wrestling fan because it's all the same great product. It's all got heart. It's all got soul. It's all got passion. And just like ice cream, it makes you smile every single time. All right, so let's jump in to this week's Smash or Pass. Here we go. And like always, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the rules. Again, submissions are sent in to the Baddies channel of the Real Wrestling Community on the Discord server. Photos ideally have to be posted during the week. Try not to use old photos. Now, I will give a little bit of a leeway because sometimes there are these accounts that aggregate photos. If you see it posted during the week, fine, you can send it in. As long as you know, it's not like you're not scrolling through someone's Instagram feed to find their best photo to send it in. If it's like something that's been posted during the week, I will give some leeway in that piece. And then last week, again, we made the change to go to the Smash or Pass version of the show. So it's no longer rating on a new 1 through 10 and just ranking them 1 through 10 or whatever. It's just Smash or Pass on all of them. And so let's get going. I do want to take a moment though, because share just, I think there was a little bit of a misunderstanding on what this segment is meant to be. So we had a conversation in the Discord, and this is exactly why I like to have these sort of Discord centered conversations or topics on the Saturday show, because it allows people to have conversations throughout the week and be interactive and have a chance to have some form of their submission or whatever, be part of a show. We had a conversation in the Baddies channel about what the purpose of this is. And there were maybe one or two people in particular who just maybe misunderstood the idea. So this idea is not just to put wrestlers that you think are cute. Like, this is not cute or not. This is smash or pass. And so the idea is not necessarily to make it something super objectifying or sexualizing, because to be completely honest, I go through the list and it takes me about 5 seconds. Like, this is, this segment takes me the least amount of time of any segment that we go through on the show to decide what to talk about. And because I usually have my answer on smash or pass within 10 or 15 seconds of looking through the submissions. And so this isn't something that I take a great amount of time of, like, oh yeah, this is like this and this is that. Like, I don't take a whole lot of time, but to prep for it, but it's smash or pass. So yeah, you should probably pick photos that are appealing, because, and I'll tell you this, these are my opinions. These are, you know, subjective. There's no objective truth to any of this. This is meant to start a conversation. This is meant to get comments and build out the algorithm a little bit, but it's also for me to kind of sell the Discord. Like, this is a piece of what you get when you join the Discord, is you get to participate in entering submissions for the Smash or Pass weekly episode. Like, we had the most submissions we've ever had this week, and I think it's because it's a topic that people want to, you know, people in the Discord right now enjoy talking about, enjoy sharing their thoughts about. And the idea is, who am I going to smash or am I going to pass? It's not, are you cute? Because all of the women that are posted are in some way cute. But the answer is it smash or pass? It's not, are you cute? And so I don't want people to get upset that I pass on somebody that they think is cute or they think is attractive, because the me passing doesn't mean necessarily that I don't think they're attractive. It's just there's just a mark, a line in the sand. And I'll get into it. And before we get into the show, like, I classify women into 4 different body categories, and each category is fine. I'm all for body positivity and all that. I'm not here to be like, you're a fat ass, because look at me. Like, I'm not the most athletic specimen in the world, so I don't have room to judge. But I classify women into 4 categories. There's super muscular, there's fit, there's thick, and then there's super ultra thick, right? And so for me personally, I stay in the middle. I like fit and thick. I'm not really big on the super muscular, and I'm not super big on the super ultra thick, you know? Like, I like to kind of stay in the middle there. And so I use that perception when I go through these. And so someone may be an attractive woman, but I'll pass on them because they don't fit into the 2 categories that I prefer, right? So again, these are just my opinions. This isn't meant to be anything super like important. This is just a fun way to get the community to have a conversation throughout the week, because let's just be honest, I talk a lot about AEW, and 85% of the Discord right now, I would say, aren't really AEW fans, which is why I'm pushing hard to get more AEW fans in the Discord. And I'm going to sell the Discord using some of this stuff. Like, so here we go. Enough introducing the segment. Let's get going with the first submission. We have Elena Black. Elena Black, formerly known as Cora Jade, and it's just a simple smash, right? So again, like I said last week, we got smash, we got double-double smash, we got triple-double smash, we got pass, we got double-double pass, triple-double pass. I'm only allowed to use 1 triple-double anything, and if I do decide to use a triple-double anything, it will be the last submission that I show. And so what I typically do is I go through and I rank them the way that I would rank them. And if I end up not having a triple double, I go through them again and decide, do I want to give someone a triple double? And if so, I move him to the last slide that you see. Elena Black, I think she looks good. She fits in the categories that I prefer, as I mentioned earlier. And so I'd give it a smash. She's not like breathtaking in any way. Like she's attractive and she's a smash, but she's not like breathtakingly gorgeous to where like I would just throw away all of my morals to spend 5 minutes with her. Right. All right. Next we go to Lyra Valkyria, and I'm just like last week, I'm going to have to pass. And it's not because Lyra Valkyria is not attractive, but like I said last week, she is best friend cute. And that's not a bad thing, but there's levels to this. And she's on best friend cute. She's just cute. She's not hot. She's not gorgeous to me personally, and you could have your own different opinion. She's just best friend cute. Like, I could hang out with Lyra Valkyria and not have a temptation to try and like lean in and kiss her or anything. Like, she's best friend cute, and that's fine. But there's levels to this game, and Lyra Valkyria, I'll just have to pass. Like, again, she's cute, but this isn't a game of cute or not. This is a game of smash or pass, and so I'll have to pass on Lyra Valkyria. Number three, Megan Bain. The Megasis gets the double smash. Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing else to say. Megan Bain is just, she's like the perfect example of what I'm talking about, of like thick. Like, she's not overweight, but she's not super muscular. Like, you don't see her ribs, but this is what I'm looking for. Like, to be completely honest, if you want to get a double smash on your submission, it probably should be like a Megan Bain-esque look. And so yeah, Megan Bain gets the double smash. Let's keep going. Oh, we got back to back Mia Yim. Oh, this is, when Wavy D put this in the Discord, I commented, "Mommy, this is my mommy. You can have Rhea Ripley. This is mommy." Mishin, back to back, double smash. Mishin, this is, oh, yes, ma'am. Every day of the week. Let's keep going. Jade Cargill. On the Discord, I said this was a good photo of Jade. But again, I have the four categories. And Jade Cargill, I think I said this last week when we had a LinkedIn headshot of her submitted, that she's an attractive woman, but her physicality, she's too muscular to me. And that's just a turn off, if I'm being completely honest. If a woman is too muscular, I'm just like, good for them. They're in fantastic shape, but to me, it's not what I'm looking for. And so, unfortunately, like, this is a really good photo. I would prefer this photo over the one last week of Jade Cargill, but I'm going to have to pass. Same thing with Kiana James. Like, I submitted this photo, right? Just to get the discussion going. And she's an attractive woman. But the muscular build, like, I am almost 100% certain she could kick my ass. She's stronger than me. She could probably outlift me. And as a man, that's an ego buster. She could probably outlift me if we're doing like powerlifting. And so with that in respect, and with that in mind, it's a pass on Kiana James. Oh, I spelled her name wrong, but Miss Parker, Jada Parker, double smash. I think this is a perfect example, because there was also a mention in the Discord that I'm just looking for women that are posing like whores wearing bikinis and stuff. Like, this is an example of someone that isn't. And double smash, Jada Parker. Sorry for misspelling the name, but you get that double-double smash any day of the week. Let's keep going to Kathy Kelly. Double-double smash! Yeah, I think Kathy Kelly was the originator of, like, the backstage announcer doing, like, taking photos backstage, and now you see everybody do them. Like, I know Arcady Ara with AEW does them every week. Alicia Toot does them every week. Like, I think she was the originator of that. But Kathy Kelly, she is muy guapo, muy bueno. Britt Baker, where have you been, Miss DMD? I haven't seen you since you pissed off Serena Deeb several months ago. Where have you been, Britt Baker? You get a smash. It seems like you're on the beach. So Britt Baker gets a smash. Nothing, you know. This was the hardest one for me to pick because originally I'd put pass. Because Britt Baker, again, is kind of in that physique, the more slim, muscular physique. But the more I thought about it, like, Britt Baker is an attractive woman, and I'm going to give her the smash. We go to Tessa. And again, I'm only going based off the photo put in the chat. So when you give me a screenshot of you watching TNA, and this is what you give me of Tessa Blanchard, it's got to be a pass. But you scroll Tessa Blanchard's Instagram or any other social media, because I'm pretty sure she posts them on all of her social medias, you can find way better photos of Tessa Blanchard. I am an originator of being a Tessa Blanchard guy. I think Tessa Blanchard's a great wrestler. This photo is not attractive. This photo is a screenshot of you watching TNA. And I'm going to pass on the screenshots of you watching any pro wrestling. If you give me a LinkedIn headshot, it's probably going to be a pass. If you give me a screenshot of you watching wrestling, it's probably going to be a pass. Like put some effort into it, folks. This is a pass for Tessa Blanchard, not because of Tessa, because she is a gorgeous woman, but just simply on principle here. Don't give me these screenshots of you watching wrestling. Steph DeLander. Last week, she was the recipient of the triple-double smash. But this week, we had to downgrade her a little bit. She gets the double-double smash. Steph DeLander looking muy bueno, like she always does. All right, let's keep moving to Stevie Turner. I don't even know who the hell this is. This is another example of, like, one of those screenshots of watching NXT. And look, I am attracted to blonde women. If I had to have a type, it would be a thick fit blonde woman. Megan Bain. Stevie Turner is a blonde woman. And if I'm giving a blonde woman a double-double pass, you know there's a problem. I don't see anything attractive about Stevie Turner. Sorry, that's just personal preference. So double-double pass on Stevie Turner. But on the opposite, Western New York's finest, Christina Marie, Buffalo Bill fan, we got a little bit in common, you know what I'm talking about. Double-double smash for Christina Marie. I hope to see you in Winston-Salem this year at WrestleCade. I hope I'm going to try and go this year. I haven't been, but Christina Marie, if you're ever in wrestling and in the Indies in North Carolina, let me know. And I will come watch you wrestle because you're a really good wrestler. Stephanie Vaquer. I don't know what the hype is about this woman. I think the hype is that she uses her ass as her finishing move or whatever. And it's whatever. Like, Booker T overhypes her. She's an attractive woman. But again, this isn't cute or not. This is smash or pass. And the bar is high, Miss Vaquer. And you don't meet the bar. This is a pass on Stephanie Vaquer. Willow Nightingale. Double, double smash. Oh, Willow Nightingale, the future AEW Women's Champion at some point in time. I think DJ Wavy D would agree with me on this one. Give her the double, double smash for Miss Willow Nightingale. Let me tell you something. Tattoos that are not like overly obsessive, like Rhea Ripley is an attractive woman, but I would pass on Rhea Ripley because she has tattoos literally every fucking where. Willow has the tattoos on her arm, and that's attractive to me. But having tattoos literally everywhere on your body, no go in this place. But Willow Nightingale gets the double, double smash. And I think we got one more. I haven't used my triple double. So do I use my triple double this week? Ladies and gentlemen, I sure as hell do. It's time for the triple double. The triple double pass. Zarya. In what world is she? I don't know. Like, I don't get the vibe for Zarya. This photo here just reads like gothic, and again, I'm not into the gothic stuff, so it's just like gothic rock princess, and some people may like that. I don't like the vibe, and so Zarya, unfortunately, my friend, you are the recipient of this week's triple double, but it's the triple double pass. And ladies and gentlemen, we are done with Smash or Pass this week. Again, the most submissions we have had ever in the show's history. So let's keep it going. Let's move on, though, to the next piece. But first, let's talk about StubHub. Picture this. You're at a concert of the year, singing your heart out and cheering at a sold-out game. You're right in the action. That's the magic of StubHub. See, with StubHub, you can grab tickets to the hottest event. Think your music festivals, Broadway shows, must-see playoff games, all in just a few clicks. Their platform is safe. It's simple. It's loaded with options. You can get the seats you want without the hassle. And with StubHub's Fan Protect guarantee, you're covered no matter what. Ready for an unforgettable night? Head to StubHub. Use the link in the description for all of your ticket needs. Browse what's hot in your city. Lock in your tickets because StubHub is where epic moments start. So get yours today. Thank you all to StubHub for partnering with the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Now let's talk about AEW for a moment. See, Tony Khan, I believe, said that he feels as if 2025 has been the best year in AEW's history. And so the question has to be, and this is a question for the community, so leave your comment in the box, leave your comments below. Has this been AEW's best year? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say it has been the best year of AEW's tenure. And people are going to be like, well, 2021 was really special, and it was, because it was hot because it was coming out of like the pandemic. That the 2020, you know, year was kind of weird for pro wrestling. And so 2021 was hot, and CM Punk came out, and all of this stuff that was, you know, we had big expectations for AEW, and they really put on good stuff in 2021. But 2025 just feels like AEW has stepped up to another level. And it's also been AEW's best year because WWE has made several critical mistakes in the PR department to make it so that AEW is getting a lot of attention. I've never gone on TikTok and seen more pro AEW stuff than pro WWE stuff. But every day now I hop on to some form of social media and I see a post talking about how WWE's ticket prices are dragging people away from going to shows and making people decide to check out AEW's live events. And so there have been several critical mistakes. A lot of these you know, boasting about record profits, but then doing mass roster cuts, speculation that TKO is going to drop WWE, all of this stuff, all the while AEW is gaining in popularity. They had one of the best shows of the year in terms of numbers this past Wednesday on Grand Slam Mexico. It's been one of their best numbers of the year. Tony Khan said at the in France this week that even after moving to simulcasting on Max, that the cable numbers are going up, and there's proof to back it up. The cable numbers are really consistent. And so AEW is seemingly in a really good spot. And this, you have to say that this has been the best year of their tenure in terms of reach. They might have not have the greatest stories of all time. Like the storylines are pretty good. Like 2024, in my opinion, had really good stories. Mariah May and Toni Storm took most of the year to tell 2024. But in terms of overall reach and overall business, you get the new Max deal, you get the new TV deal. There's a really good opportunity, a really good chance that 2025 will be the first time in the company's history that AEW shows a profit rather than a loss at the end of the year. And so with all of the business mixed in with the in-ring on the screen stuff, you got to say 2025 has been the best year in AEW so far. And the funny thing is 2026 is supposed to beat 2025. 2027 is supposed to beat 2026. Like, AEW's in a really good spot. And we see that Tony Khan feels the same way, and the way that he doesn't feel like he has to grab all of these free agents to make like the shock debuts. He no longer has to pull a CM Punk out to get numbers. And you see that he's passed on Cedric Alexander. Cedric Alexander showed up in TNA. And so good for Cedric for getting the deal that he wanted. But Tony Khan no longer feels like he has to do the shock and all, because the company's in a good place to where he can sign talent that makes sense for where he wants to throw them into. But he doesn't have to just grab all of the free agents that are out there. And so Tony Khan is, I think he's in his bag right now. And so I'm ready for the rest of 2025. We're halfway through the year now. And so 2025 is almost over. We're moving into the future, and it's just nothing but good vibes in AEW. Let's talk though quickly about our last affiliate partner, and that is WWE Shop. Power up your fandom with WWE Shop. Whether you're hype about the epic clashes of SummerSlam or the raw intensity of SmackDown, WWE has the ultimate gear to rep your favorite superstars. From bold graphic tees to iconic championship replicas, it's all here. Head to the link in the description now and outfit yourself to like a true WWE Universe legend, because WWE Shop is where fans become part of the action. Thank you to WWE Shop as well for partnering with us at the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Speaking of WWE, I got a conspiracy that I want to bring up to you guys. This will be kind of the last segment before I debut something that we're going to do to end the Saturday show every week going forward. So we're going to usually start the show with like an opening monologue and then smash or pass. I got a couple interesting things maybe to talk about in between, and then we'll end the show with this new segment that we'll talk about in a minute. But I got a conspiracy in the WWE that I want to just throw out there, and I think other people are in on it, and that is Seth Rollins seemingly is going to add a fourth member to his group. And I have the perfect person to fit it. The fit is that fourth member. So you have Bron Breakker, Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins, Braun Breaker. The tsunami guy, I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now. Bronson Reed, there it is. And then you add a fourth man. And it's all about shock and awe, right? WWE is all about the shock and awe. They're all about the heel turns, and Cody didn't turn heel at WrestleMania. But what if Cody Rhodes, because if you've been watching some of the segments with Cody and Jey Uso, it seems like there's a growing tension. Cody's been given weird looks. Cody, and so what if Cody decides to help Seth Rollins cash in that Money in the Bank briefcase on Gunther or whoever it may be, but first Seth Rollins wants to get revenge on Jey Uso. And so what if Cody turns on Jey Uso, aligns himself with Seth Rollins, and now Cody Rhodes, one of the biggest stars in the company, turns heel? Give us Bullet Club Cody Rhodes. If you never saw Cody Rhodes' indie heel run, it was probably some of his best work. Cody's gone stale. Let's just be honest. He's gone stale again. He booked himself out of AEW by going stale. And he's gone stale again in WWE. The, oh, my father was Dusty Rhodes gimmick can only go so far. And so there has to, they need to refresh Cody Rhodes. And so there's only one way to do that. And that's to turn him heel. Or, you know, you can put him back in the Stardust gimmick, I guess. But Cody Rhodes is, I feel like, could be the fourth man that can go out there, fight Seth Rollins' battles for him, and help Seth Rollins win the title, whether it be from Gunther or whether it be from John Cena. Because that's what I think may happen is how do you turn John Cena babyface again? Well, you double-cross him. You have Cena turned heel on Cody, and so have Cody turn heel on Cena. Now Cena can end as a babyface, end his term, and Cody can take the belt back from him just for Seth to cash in on Cody, right? So that's the game. If Seth will use Cody to get to where he needs to be, and then he'll break Cody's heart. So you have a heel Cody go over John Cena, and then now heel Cody doesn't need to be anything. You can turn Cena babyface. You can then turn Cody babyface at the same time by having the double cross of Seth Rollins turning on Cody Rhodes. So I think Cody Rhodes, at least for a short period of time, could be the fourth man. But let me know. I don't have a whole lot of proof to prove that. That's just a conspiracy that I'll throw out there. Let me know in the community, is Cody Rhodes the fourth man? Or will they add a fourth man? And just let me know. And we're going to end the show here, like I said, with a new segment. I'm calling it the Pick Three. And so I'm going to pick three wrestlers that had the best week and pro wrestling, and then I'll pick three wrestlers that had the worst week in pro wrestling. And so let's start with the worst. We'll give you the bad news first. Number three, the third worst week in all of pro wrestling. Sami Zayn. The hype. Sami Zayn's going to win King of the Ring. Just to fall flat on his face. When is Sami Zayn going to get a better gimmick? When is Sami Zayn going to stop being like WWE's male Karen? He keeps losing in these big moments. When is he going to? He either needs to snap and turn heel and go on a rampage, or he needs to go super babyface again. Like, you know what would be the best thing for Sami Zayn right now? And I'm being completely honest here. You have Triple A. If you tell a story where Sami Zayn, I don't know how you do it, but through a story, have Sami Zayn put the El Generico mask back on, send him to AAA for a while, let him have some really good matches with like El Hijo de Vikingo and people like that. And Sami Zayn can go away from the main roster for a little bit and help build AAA and build, you know, that brand. That way, Sami Zayn can get refreshed. Just as Cody Rhodes has gone stale, Sami Zayn has gone really stale. And Kevin Owens is injured now, so you can't do the yearly heel turn, Kevin Owens turning on Sami Zayn like you used to do. I think that's what they need to do with Sami, is through a story, have Sami Zayn like forget that he's Sami Zayn or whatever and believe that he's El Generico again, send him to AAA and let him do some really good work in AAA. The fans will forget about this terrible gimmick that he's in. Bring him back in like 6 to 8 months at like the Royal Rumble or something as El Generico. And then give him a push there, but he needs time away from this current gimmick because Sami Zayn is really bad. The number two worst week of the week is John Cena, because this heel run continues to get worse and worse. They're having to go back 14 years and tell the same story, but with the sides flipping to make John Cena somewhat relevant in this heel turn. Again, to me, it just feels like a lack of creativity from WWE. And then Cena's going to go out there and name drop Claudio Castagnoli in his promo. But yet there's rumors that WWE doesn't want MJF in the Happy Gilmore 2 Netflix commercial for them to advertise on Monday Night Raw. But yet your guy John Cena is going to name drop an AEW guy like that's in the main scene. Claudio Castagnoli is going to name Nick Nemeth, is going to name Matt Cardona. I think it was really cheesy in my opinion. And John Cena, just this heel turn, as I said when it happened, it very possibly can ruin the legacy of John Cena. This is a bad heel turn, which is why I kind of hope Cody Rhodes does what I said in the earlier segment, where he turns on Cena, becomes, you know, part of the fourth, becomes the fourth man, beats John Cena, so that Cena can lose the belt, turn babyface again, and end on good terms. But yeah, so John Cena, the number two worst week, the worst week of the week in pro wrestling, has to go to Liv Morgan. And it's not because of what she did in the ring. It's just the unfortunate injury. Sounds like it requires surgery. Sounds like, you know, not only is it bad for the women's tag team scene that half of your women's tag team champions are injured, but there were feuds with Nikki Bella in the making. There was a feud with Io Sky maybe in the making. And so now WWE's women's division is going to have to change a little bit. And they're probably going to have to think on their feet, all because of one injury. I hope the best for Liv Morgan, but I had to put her as the number one worst week because there was so much planned for her that suddenly now, because of the injury, has to be dropped, you would think, at least for now. And it was just not a great week for her. We'll end with the best three of the week. Number three, Hangman Page. I think he solidified himself as the main character of AEW this week. He comes out there, introduces himself to the Mexican crowd, cuts a like several minute promo all in Spanish, comes out at the end, and the grapple between him and Moxley has sold me on this match. And I wonder in the weeks to come, Do they make this a Texas death match? Is it just a single one-on-one match? Are there no DQs? How will this work with Hangman Page? But he had a really good week. He didn't wrestle this week, but he had a really good week in terms of building anticipation for him versus Moxley. And so for that, he's number three. Number two, I mentioned him earlier with John Cena, but MJF, one, you come out there with major heat in Mexico, bringing the American flag. There's all of those tensions. And obviously, it's all story. And I don't think MJF means any ill will towards it, but it's part of the story. And he comes out there and has just such major heat, beats Mystico, unmasks Mystico, takes the mask of Mystico, puts it on his head. And I mentioned in the opening monologue that, you know, CMLL does a lot of mask versus hair matches. I would love a Mystico versus MJF at All In mask versus hair match. MJF can lose to Mystico in Texas and MJF would have to shave his bloody hair. That would be hilarious. That would be wonderful. Glorious. But no, MJF, and then you have this idea that I guess MJF is seen as such a threat to Monday Night Raw that they want to cut him out of the promos for Happy Gilmore on Netflix during Monday Night Raw. I don't know if they could even do that because it seems like he plays somewhat of a big piece of the movie. But the person with the best week this week is the CEO, Mercedes Moné. She proved her legacy to me that she is the greatest women's wrestler of all time. She now has become the only woman to wrestle at Arena Mexico, Wembley Stadium, the Tokyo Dome, and Madison Square Garden. The only woman to do all four. She has 6 championships right now. She has had the best 18-month reign, I think, of any woman in the history of the sport. Mercedes Moné will go down as the best wrestler in best women's wrestler pro wrestling has ever seen. The passion for the game. Oh, and what makes it even better is that there has been reports that Mercedes Moné maybe wanted to lose to Athena in the Owen Hart tournament. But lessening the Fed E-Drone Academy members who love to talk about how Mercedes Moné just never wants to lose and she throws out her creative freedom card to never lose. And it seems like she was, you know, open to losing to Athena. She's been open to losing matches, but Tony Khan just doesn't want her to lose right now. This has always been the plan. Right, he didn't want her to lose. From what I've read, is Tony Khan has been planning since they announced All In Texas in 2024, July of 2024. The plan has always been Toni Storm versus Mercedes Moné at All In Texas. That's why she's been in all of the advertising for the All In Texas show. This has always been the idea. And to get there, Mercedes Moné, there was no point in having her lose anything. This is going to be great. And why is it going to be great? Because she had the best week. She picked up her 6th title. She defended it against La Catalina last night at the CMLL Fantastica Mania. She put on really good matches in Mexico. And eventually, let's just say she loses to Toni Storm. She loses the TBS belt. She loses the Rev Pro belt. She loses that Austrian indie show belt. She loses the CMLL belt, maybe to Persephone, maybe. And now we have one of the biggest falls from grace you'll ever see. And then Mercedes Moné feels like, I keep losing, so I need to build a stable. And now you build the Moné Corporation, and you can bring in people like the Renegade Twins. You can bring in people like Mara Sade, who can come in, be the maybe Camille comes back at some point in time. And now Mercedes Moné loses everything. What a story that would be. She had the best week of best wrestling week of the week of any wrestler. And so let me know what you think about the show. That's all I have to say today, guys. Hope you appreciated the show. I appreciate y'all from tuning in. Make sure to like, leave some comments, share this with all your wrestling friends, subscribe and hit that notification bell, join the Discord, and we'll see you next Thursday on the live stream. Watch AEW Collision tonight, 8 o'clock on TNT or streaming on Max. And we'll see you next week, y'all. I'm Junkyard James. This has been another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard Podcast. We'll see you next time. Beyond the-